Some of you that pastors preach that God's ways are not our ways, and that we walk in history, and that stuff happens in our lives that we sometimes just can't explain. Others will hear their pastors asking them to trust in God's purposes, believing that God knows what God does, and God's purposes at work, regardless of how it looks like on the surface. A few of them will hear the suggestion that death and destruction can also be God's judgment on sin, and that judgment can be a call to those who survive that disaster to come to repentance. That kind of message and preaching is comforting to some, because it offers the assurance that God is in control and that suffering has a purpose. But there are many others who will find that assumption, that kind of thinking, as not at all comforting, but actually unsettling. The idea, for instance, that God would call a tornado and intentionally direct it to a target like Oklahoma or New York in the case of typhoon or Hurricane Sandy is unacceptable to many people today. Some would wonder how God would intend the death of children, since many of the victims in Moore were not adults, but children in school. They cannot help but ask, how is it that their homes that they have spent so long to build and own, the businesses of their fellow church members in the congregation, have all been wiped out? And I am hoping that there are some pastors who will preach a different message. I'm hoping that there will be some who will tell their congregation that God has not sent tornadoes to punish people. I'm hoping that there are pastors who will tell their people that if they're asking why tornadoes happen, the better person to ask is not the pastor, but the meteorologist. The meteorologist can explain intelligently that tornadoes are events that occur in nature, and that with current technology they can, with varying degrees of accuracy, they can actually be predicted. And the U.S. weather stations predicted this particular tornado, and that is how they saved hundreds, if not thousands, of lives last Wednesday night. Certain weather conditions cause tornadoes. Tornadoes come from a collision of hot and cold air, and we don't need to blame God for it. Things happen in our lives that bring suffering and pain, and nowhere in Scripture does it say that Christians are exempt from it. In the Gospel of today, Jesus actually tells us that you will be in a lot of trouble if you follow what I say. If you continue to walk in the way of Jesus, you will become unpopular, you will be persecuted, some of you, according to Jesus, will be killed. And that is why the Spirit of God had to come in Pentecost. What our sacred texts contain are not promises of exemption, but promises that God will be there with us regardless of what happens, tornadoes or whatever. And God will, if we ask God, give us whatever we need to be victorious and overcome whatever it is that life throws at us. Across the pages of the Bible, as you become more and more familiar with reading it, you will find promise after promise that God is so. This is what leads the poet in another psalm, which you know, Psalm 23, to say with confidence, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thank you. Because you are with me, God. Jesus says, come to me, those who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You don't have to go to anyone else. I'm Jesus. Cast upon me, cast your burden, and let me care for you. It's during times like this that we can go to the writings of the prophets who prophesied the exile, people who were thrown away from home, with their countries wiped out, that God will give you beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for a spirit of grief. And you will become like oaks of righteousness, like strong trees. And you hear that and you say that to yourself and you say, wow, our God is an awesome God. We have just finished the season of Easter and now are entering into Pentecost. But the message of Easter was that every year as we celebrate it, it says over and over again, hopefully until we get it, that neither evil nor suffering nor death will ever have the final word. Not in the life of Jesus and not in our lives. Even if death should strike us down, Easter says God will raise you up. Death is never the final word because the victory always remains with God. So God does not send tornadoes. Doesn't have to. God walks with us through the tornadoes of life and the many storms that we face. God sends people to help us weather the storm, and people will help make that presence of God felt among us all. So, I think that as people of faith, our first response to whatever happens must always be prayer. And I'd like to spend some time with you talking about that a little bit more. Sometimes we pray because we know or we're told that we're supposed to. Sometimes we pray because we can't think of anything else to do, especially in moments like this. Sometimes we pray because it's part of an ongoing, life-giving relationship with God. And sometimes we pray because we know and we are convinced that it works and it matters and it's important to us. And many of us are discovering that there's only so much capacity for this human brain to be able to respond to grief or sadness or stress. We're seemingly faced crisis after crisis this last few months. You're not noticing. From the Boston Marathon, a building crashing in Bangladesh, Tim Bosma's charred body that we talked about last Sunday. And then was it this week or the end of the last week? What about this young British soldier who was hacked by Islamic extremists in London in broad daylight? A guy who's able to survive the war of Afghanistan only to die in London, in his own country. And add to that the political scandals in Toronto and Ontario, and you say, we're in a big mess, aren't we? It's easy to feel when these things happen that prayer doesn't change a thing. But listen, I ask you to listen to this old hymn. I just found out last night. The date on it is 1826. Are these little sisters too? So this song already, you might say, in the top 40. They were already in the charts. It was already sung by people, even before our church was built. It's a very popular song. So I'm asking you for a moment just to clear your head of whatever is running there right now. And listen to what this hymn is saying, and then let's talk about it. Let's hear from each other what you hear as you're listening to this. Tell me what touches you, what you remember, and what you see as an invitation in this song. And I won't even tell you what the title of that song is. The moment you hear the first line, you'll figure out what it is. It's sang by Alan Jackson.
some of your theory. I'm good. That sounds so old that it's been dropped from you. What's it saying to you?
So that's another point. There's an argument in the psalm. It's saying that for a person of faith, can any friend be more faithful and better than Jesus?
Easy, simple to understand line. What a friend we have in Jesus. And he says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. It asks us, do you have trials? Do you have temptation? Are you in some kind of trouble? Are you discouraged? Do you sometimes wish that you have a friend with whom you can share your thoughts? Are you sometimes feeling weak and heavy laden? Do you sometimes feel alone, like everybody has forgotten you? Those are the questions that speak directly to the human condition. And it was good in 1820, as it is in 2013. When we're tempted to think that prayer is a waste of time, and when we're beginning to ask, what's the point of doing this over and over again when the same things keep happening over and over again? I think we ought to sing that hymn to ourselves. Actually, that hymn is in our hymn still. So there will always be another tragedy. There will always be another disaster, and another shooting, and another tornado. Actually, some are saying that the next one might be in Canada. If we do not carry everything to God in prayer, as this thing suggests, sooner or later, we will be persuaded, like unbelievers who say that life is just one song thing after the other. Yeah. It's just one thing after another. And so my prayer today is that none of us will see life that way. That all of us will learn to carry everything to God in prayer. And once we experience that, when we experience God's protection, we gain the courage to face our own fears. Once we know that God will be there regardless of what happens in the natural, then it takes the pressure off us to get the words right, but to say those prayers that we think are going to fix everything. Because even without words, we can continue to pray. We can pray in spirit. And we can cast our burdens on Jesus as we are invited to do. And people I know who do that, and do that regularly, and do that well, I find that they are very compassionate and very kind people. Because they have been through it, and they know what that struggle feels like. They can weep with those who weep, and mourn with those who mourn, because they have been through it themselves. They speak from their own experience. People who are friends with Jesus can sit with you and tell you how that works, and how that feels. So when tragedy strikes, know that we are not alone. The hymn reminds us that the Jesus we follow is not a stranger to suffering. He knows something about tragedy because his own life was a tragedy. It ended in tragedy, in betrayal and crucifixion, and death. So we ask, where is God in all this? And my answer to that is, God is under the rubble, crying out to the parents and the families of those who lost their loved ones and their homes and had to start all over again from literally nothing. In the tears of those who weep and mourn these last few weeks, for many of those lives that have been lost and visited by terror and tragedy, God is present right there. So take it to the Lord in prayer.
It doesn't mean that we deny the pain. It doesn't mean that we refuse to see these difficult things, these challenges that are before us. What it asks us to do is to make it a source of healing for us and save us from having to carry that burden ourselves. Let us do what that hymn suggests. Carry everything to God in prayer. And there is perhaps no better time to do that than right now. Amen. We pray to you, O God, that you encourage us to do. We pray for our world, our city, our church, our community here in Lethemville. And we pray for the members of Queen East who are ill, for those who are in pain, for those who have passed away. In a special way, O God, listen now to these names that we call out and lift up to you, and we carry to you in prayer. Let us call those names.
Thank you.